Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Finances with Francine and Friends. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey. And as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. If this is your first time tuning in to our broadcast, we thank you so very much. If you're a longtime listener, we thank you as well. I want to get right into the show today. I have with me Michelle Ewing and Kevin Green. Hello, Kevin. How are you today?
Hi, Francine. I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Hello, Michelle. How are you today?
I am awesome, Francine. Thank you so much for asking. How are you doing today?
I am doing fabulous. It's Friday. Yay! We made it to another fabulous Friday, so I'm very excited.
Yes, we did.
Yes, absolutely. So, Michelle, I want you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how they can get in touch with you, because I know once we get the conversation started, we may not get to that. So I wanted to do that first today.
Okay. My name is Michelle Ewing. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. I am retired Navy of 27 years. At my time in the Navy, I was an aviation electronics technician and then a surface warfare officer, followed by a human resources officer. So as you can see, I did had a wide range of experience. So I did finances as far as controlling a $1.3 billion budget, and I also used to be what we call a command financial specialist. I can be reached at ewing1@gmail.com or www.livingbenefitsexperts.com/lifetimelegacies.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Kevin, can you introduce yourself and tell folks how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Kevin Green. Started off my career in banking and finance. I was managing a billion-dollar debt and equity portfolio when I left after about 14 years. I went on to practice law for over 20 years. Some of the things I did during my legal profession was I worked on mergers and acquisitions. Office Depot and Office Max are two large companies down here. I worked on their merger a few years back. About 2 years ago, I went back to my roots in finance and started working in the insurance business. Now I'm working for a company called Five Rings Financial. They're an amazing company. I'm very glad to be with them. And you can reach me at my email address, which is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, dot Green, G-R-E-E-N, at FiveRingsFinancial.com. That's Five Rings Financial, all spelled out.
Wonderful. And so this show today is being hosted by Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. And again, I'm your host, Francine Humphrey. For more information about the program and how you can get in touch with Michelle or Kevin, you can call me at 757-567-6734, or you can email me at icwdirector@gmail.com. And the Five Rings email is f.humphrey@fiveringsfinancial.com. And so I am so excited to have Michelle and Kevin with me today. And our subject is on the budgeting today and a spending plan. I lost my thought there, you guys. So Michelle and Kevin, okay. How do each of you approach creating a budget?
I'm going to let Kevin kick this one off.
Okay.
All right. I think the first step for creating a successful budget is to figure out what your goal is. Sometimes having a goal will help you stay on track. So if your goal is to put away money because you want to have a down payment for your home in next year or next 2 years, that will help you stay on track on a day-to-day basis when, you know, you see things that want to make the impulse purchase. So I think setting a goal is always the first step. Your goal could be retirement planning, retirement funding. It could be that first home. It could be a car. It could be anything that you feel you need to start organizing your finances so you can achieve it. I think that's always the first step. And then me, I like to follow what's called the 20-50-30 rule when it comes to figuring out how to spend and allocate my money. Michelle?
Oh, okay. Well, enough of you have heard me on the show, and so I'm just going to say my approach to creating a budget, my goal, because Kevin speaks a lot about goals, that's what I like about him, but my goal is actually to sit down and create the budget, right? Because I'm the type of girl where I have never really been that great at budgeting. So for me, it's about sitting down, creating the budget in itself. That in itself is often a challenge for me.
Okay. Good stuff. So I believe that the two of you, with your experience at Firene's Financial, you do some of this in your everyday walk with your clients. So, Michelle,
mm-hmm.
you stated that your goal is to create the budget. What's the first step in creating a budget?
Well, yes, we do work a lot with that with our clients. In some areas, that's where we play off of each other. Some areas we're better at things than others, and we have a whole team of people that help us. So I'm very good at creating my budget now. I just want to be fully transparent that everybody is not there, and that's okay because you can get there. So as mm-hmm. I stated, you know, creating the budget is my goal. So y'all know me. I'm all about the money, right? I'm all about making money, right? So, because I like my shoes, and when you about buy shoes, you got to know where your money is coming from. So I sit mm-hmm. down, and one of the first things I do, that first step is figuring out where all my money comes from. Right now, I'm a retired Navy veteran, so I get my retirement pay, I get my veteran pay, you know, and I have a couple of different streams of income. So I sit down, pen and paper, because I'm old school, and I write down a list of where all my money is coming from. We have moms that are out there, or even single parents, where they may be receiving child support, because I know plenty of single dads. There are more single dads in the Navy than single moms. That's a little trivia. Okay, so there are a lot of people that get child support, or they get other streams of income. They may be getting money from investments that they have and such like that. So just sitting down and figuring out where all your money comes from, that's my first step. Where's my money?
Hmm. That's where you got to start. You got to know where your money is. And so, Kevin, now that we figured out the goal, and Michelle has told us we should know where the money comes from, what would you say is the next step?
Next step is figuring out where the money goes. Quite simply put, a lot of people will spend money, and at the end of the month, they look back and they go, where did all my money go? So what I advise people to do is to start what's called a money tracker. And you can write it down on a piece of paper and a pad. If you like to see it that way, you can do it on an Excel spreadsheet. But keep a paper with you or something with you so that when you're spending money each day, you keep track of all those expenses. You know, you'll be surprised how much they add up, and they could wreck a budget if you don't pay attention to them. You know, you stop on Starbucks one day and you buy a $5 cup of coffee, and you go, oh, let me just buy a donut too. And now you throw in a couple of donuts, and a few days go by, and you're like, oh, I see something as I'm checking out at the supermarket checkout stand, a little impulse buy. You pick that up. That's a couple of dollars here or there. And you do that all month long, and at the end of the month, you could be out a significant amount of money, and you have nothing really to show for it, and you don't remember those little small purchases, and you don't know where it went. So developing a tracker, a money tracker, each and every day, every time you buy something, you write it down. You write it down. You do it for a week or two, and then you try to do it for a full month, and you add it all up. You see where you're losing all this money through what I like to call a hole in your pocket, because it's just disappearing, and you really have no idea where it's going. So I think that's one of the first things you should figure out. Once you figure out where the money's coming from, figure out where it's going.
Okay.
And Isn't that one of the things that we cover?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we cover at Five Rings Financial. Mm-hmm. We ask people if they can save $5 a day. And most people, you know, they don't know if they can. And at first they'll say yes. And then they'll say no because they know that it's $150 a month. But we know that they can save $5 a day because we know that they spend $20 a day, right? So that's where that spending tracker comes from that Kevin is talking about. You start figuring out pretty quickly where that $20 a day is going to.
Yep. The national average is you spend about $20 per day. And it may not be $20 every day, but it might be like $20 on, you know, $5 on Monday, and maybe $6 or $7 on Tuesday, and then, you know, by Saturday you're spending $40 or $50, and when you average it up across the entire nation, it comes out to about people are wasting about $20 per day every day.
Okay, so that is very interesting because we don't even realize how much money we spend if we're not tracking. So Michelle, can you go into a little bit more detail about that $20 a day and the what's next step?
Okay. Yeah, that $20 a day, you know, sometimes us ladies, well, me, I'm just going to speak for me. I ain't going to speak for all the ladies. You know, I see those shoes and I'm like, oh, it's only $60. or I see the $300 pair of shoes, right? And they perfect because they go with that $600 dress that we got that we need to wear to, you know, somebody's wedding or something like that. And so it averages out to about $20 a day. There's the Starbucks. There's the lunches that we don't track how much we eat every day. We take people out to eat. Oh, it's no big deal. When I speak to some of my clients, that is one of the biggest expenses that they do not take into consideration. It is how much money they spend on eating out. That's a huge cost that we really do not watch. So it's something that we might want to pay attention to. But then the next step would be, after figuring out where that $20 a day is coming from, is I like to sit down and write out all my bills, okay? Who are all my bills? Who do I owe money to? And when are they due, right? So it's like a bill calendar. Like I said, I'm pen and paper, so I sit down, write everything out, my house, my car, my insurances, you know, even any subscriptions that I might have to, like, maybe Netflix or Hulu, gym memberships, all of those are bills. Those are bills. But I like to do one thing is where I'm a bill, okay? But we'll talk more about that later. I myself am a bill, y'all, and I think that's one of the things that we need to think about. I am my number one bill collector, me. That's me. So get all your bills lined up because you have to be you do it on a calendar because it affects your credit score. And your credit score is very important because it impacts your options, what you pay in interest, and how you're able to move as a consumer, okay? It even affects your insurance. Your credit score affects how much you pay for your insurance. So it's important to keep up with those bills, keep a bill calendar, so that you can keep your bills as low as possible. I don't know if many people know that their credit score absolutely does impact how much they pay for car insurance, how much they pay for life insurance, because anytime somebody runs your credit for anything, and they do run your credit when you ask, you know, when you're going out to get insurance, it does impact your rating, how much you'll be required to pay. So just keep that in mind. Do it on the calendar. Know when they're due. Pay those bills on time.
So, Kevin and Michelle, before we move on, because you're giving some great information, but maybe somebody's listening, and either one of you can take it or both of you can give me your point of view on this. What kind of tracker should we use? Because, see, Michelle, you said you're pen and paper. You know, I like to use Excel spreadsheets. So can both of you kind of speak to that and tell me what you use? And I know Michelle told me what she used, but Kevin, what are you using? Mm-hmm. And you can go first, and then Michelle can come back and reiterate what she does.
Okay. Well, like Michelle, I'm also a paper and pen kind of person. I like to write everything down. The act of writing it down helps me remember it, helps me stay focused. But there are, like you mentioned, Excel spreadsheets will also work. Any program that you can find that will help you manage your money that works for you, as long as it's something you're comfortable with, as long as it's something you're going to remember to do, I say go for it. It doesn't matter to me whether or not, you know, you're doing it through Excel spreadsheet or if you're writing on pen and paper. If you're writing on your wall calendar, you just make notes on your wall calendar if you're looking at it every day. You know, whatever helps you keep everything in order and keep track of it, that is what I say, do it. Do it.
Okay. And I would say, yes, I am pen and paper, but I have also done things on Excel spreadsheet. I am just a creature of habit, and if I have something in my hand, it's more realistic for me. But there are many, many tools that are out there on the internet for, like, to give you bill calendars or some type of spreadsheet. If you go in and you just Google, you know, budget, you know, there are so many tools out there in the www world, the .com world, where you can use to help you track your expenses. You can use your iPhone watch, right, because we have the calendars that show up on there. You program it in your phone. It is whatever works for the individual. Like Kevin, me writing it down, it helps me to remember it. It's something about that pen going on the paper, and I use blue ink because studies show that you're able to remember things more when you're using blue ink. I don't know what that's about, but they say it, so I do it, okay? So I use blue ink, but there are a number of tools out there. And Francine, you do a lot of teaching, so you're probably a good person that be able to give some specific places that people can find electronic tools to help them, because I know that's your strength. You do a lot for the city with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we do is the bill calendar. And we also do this thing called cash flow. And a cash flow chart is where you actually write down everything for that particular week. Because some people can't do the whole month. They get all stressed out week two. They don't know them. Yeah. But I'm not doing this because this is frustrating to me. But if you're actually putting down what you have in the bank, if you start on Monday, for example, and you have $100 in your account on Monday, and you're spending all week long, and then you're getting paid on Friday. So as you're writing down what you're spending, and then when you get to the end of the week and you have a new deposit, you can actually subtract what you actually made for the week and what you spent for the week. And that gives you a really good indicator of how much you're overspending, because we're not thinking about it. So we are talking about that $20 a day or that $5 for lunch versus us knowing exactly where the money is, because we're not really thinking about it if we don't see it. So if you're tracking it on a cash flow sheet, you know exactly where your money went. You know how many coffees you bought, how many times you stopped at 7-Eleven, every time you put coins in the slot machine to get those little nabs, you'll know where your money went. And then at the end of the week, and you do that for the 4 weeks, and then for the month, you can kind of see and gauge which weeks you do better. Most people in my classes, they spend more when they know they're getting paid on Friday. If they get paid every two weeks, they kind of, the first week they're like, okay, I'm lean. I'm gonna bring my lunch to work. I'm gonna walk during lunch so that I don't eat a big meal. I'm just gonna grab something and go. But if it's close to payday, they tend to go out to eat if we're back in the normal world of what it used to look like when we go out, and they would treat themselves to a big lunch that probably should be a dinner because they spent like $20 on it. So that's one of the things that my class uses, and we have other ones as well. So, Kevin, I know that did you have something else, Michelle, to add to that? Because I know you do a lot.
No, that's great.
Okay, great. Kevin, now what's the best way to pull all of this together? You mentioned the 20-50-30 rule. Can you define that for our audience?
Yes, ma'am. That is the rule that I like to use. Like Michelle mentioned earlier, she's a bill. And with the 20-50-30 rule, 20% goes to savings. So when you bring home your take-home pay, the first 20% of it, you put it aside for you. You pay yourself first. And after that, you use the rest of the money to figure out what other expenses you have and how they're going to get paid. But that first 20%, that is your savings part. Pay yourself before you do anything else. The 50% part are your needs. And in your needs, you're talking about your mortgage or your rent, your car insurance, your car note. All those things fall under needs. And then the 30% are your wants. So those are other activities that are like going on vacations, buying clothes, sporting events, and things like that. That's the rule I personally follow. Now, there are other budgets that you'll find online. One of them is just like a simple five-part budget where it breaks things down into like your housing, which shouldn't be more than 35% of your take-home pay, transportation costs, which includes maintenance on your vehicle, gas, washing your car, things like that, shouldn't be more than 15% for your transportation. Other living expenses, which should be up to about 25%, and that should cover things like eating out, vacations, clothing, sporting events, things of that nature. Your savings portion, which according to that little five-step budget, is 10%, and that's, you should again pay yourself first. Always, whenever you have a savings portion, pay yourself first, take that money off the top. And the fifth part of that simple five-part budget is your debt payoff, and that should be about 15% or so. And that's where you're paying off your student loans, your credit cards, other bills that you might have. Now, if you want to take that five-part simple budget and sort of adapt it to that 20-50-30 rule, then you have to realize that your savings and your debt payoff, 10% and 15%, that all falls under that, what I would say, 20%. That, you know, that's your savings portion. The other expenses like your housing, your transportation, that 35%, that 15%, together that makes up about 50%, and those are your needs. And then the transport and the other living expenses, which in the simple budget is 25%, that's where the 30% comes in, and that's just your wants, basically. So you can either look at the simple five-part budget, you can look at the 20-50-30 rule. There are other ways to break it down. I've seen a 70-20-10 rule. But there are many ways and many different types of budgets that you can find online if you look at. I just personally prefer the one that's 20-50-30. It works for me.
Okay, great. Now, Michelle, do you use the same budgeting rule of thumb?
No. Okay. as I mentioned previously, I am a bill, right? And right off the top, 10% of my money goes towards my retirement. No questions asked, right? I'm a fire and forget it kind of girl. And so I said I don't do goals, but I guess that's not exactly true. It depends on whether I'm saving for something or if I want to go on a trip or something like that. Then my savings may increase up to 20 or 25% depending on what I got going on. So I guess I am a little goal-oriented. It's just when I sit down and do a budget, a goal is not usually on my mind other than creating the budget. But things do come up in my life where I may want to go on a trip and I may have to, you know, plan some type of event. So then I take those things into consideration. But right off the top, a minimum of 10% of my income goes to my future self. My future self is a bill. Okay, make no mistake about that. I am paying my 65, 70-year-old self first because I don't believe that anybody is more deserving of my money than me. I work very hard for it. There's no reason why the elderly Michelle cannot benefit from the hard work that the young Michelle is doing today. So that's me right off the top. And then I pay everyone else by level of importance. You know, being my housing number one, because I have to have shelter. We have to look at those things. I have to have transportation, so I'm paying my car. You know, I really work very hard to keep very low credit card bills, if any at all. I believe in doing my very best to live a debt-free life because the same way compound interest works for me with my retirement savings, because I also have a tax-free retirement. I have my military retirement. I have my VA, you know, retirement check was more of a disability check. I also have my tax-free retirement because when I came into Five Rings, I was just blown away by what could be done with that tax-free retirement. So all of that stuff is paid right off of the top, and then everything else falls in line behind that because ain't nobody more important than me. Ain't nobody more important than y'all, y'all, okay? Ain't nobody more important than you. Just saying.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Okay. Now, this is a tough question, and I'm going to ask the both of you to answer. You got the budget in place. How do you stick with it?
Michelle, do you want to take that first, or do you want me to take it first?
Well, okay, I'll go first because I'm sweating over here. All right. I am really, and this is just being completely honest, you know, I'm really a fire and forget kind of girl. I'm a fire and forget. I set my things up, and I put it on automatic. I pay myself first. I do the things that I need to do first. And then that's when I know that the money that's left over is for me. And, I mean, that's the same way that I mentioned, you know, because we didn't mention tithes, and I know that's important to a lot of people. It's important to me as well. That was still something that I did automatically, right? The majority, the vast majority of my bills come out automatically, but my savings comes out off the top. And then I go into NavyFederal.com, and I have my stuff set up to where it is automatically paid. Anything that's not automatically paid, I put it on a schedule to go in there around the 1st through the 5th to see what my bills came in as with Navy Federal, and I pay them. So I am really and truly fire and forget. You have to do what works for you. And for me, that is what works, fire and forget. Out of sight is out of mind. But so once I set it up, I'm good to go.
Well, Francine, I'm a little bit different. I do things a little more manually than Michelle does. I tend to try to stay on top of things that way. But one way I help to try to keep myself on budget is I develop a support system. You know, your family, your friends, you turn to them and you have them help you out. Have them keep you on track. If your goal, like I say, is to save money for that down payment on your home, you tell your friends that. And when they call you, you know, on Friday night or Saturday night, say, hey, let's go hanging out, that money's not in your budget, you're going to have to tell them no. And that's going to be hard. But if they know what your goal is and know what your plan is, when you say, look, you know what, it's not my budget, I'm saving for that down payment for the house, your friends will go, okay, fine, I understand, and they'll let you off the hook. If they don't know what your goals are, they might give you a hard time. Like, why can't you come out? Why can't you hang out? And that makes it tougher for you to stay on your budget. But developing that support system by telling your friends, telling your family what your goals are and what you're saving for, and they will help you. If they're with you and you're out and you see that, like Michelle, that pair of shoes that, you know, might be the $30 pair of shoes or the $600, $300 pair of shoes, you know, your friends might say, hey, look, come on. The shoes look great, but you know, that house that you want is going to look even better. And that will help you stay on your budget as well, developing a support system. Another thing you can do is you can hide money from yourself. Like Michelle has her account set up automatically, so right off the top her savings comes out. But you also might have that trusted friend or that trusted family member, and when you get your paycheck, you, like, give them money and say, here, hold this for me, and don't give it back to me no matter what, unless I have a really good reason for you giving back to me. And they'll help you that way. Sort of hide it from yourself. If you don't see it, you don't really remember that you have it, you're not going to spend it. That's a way of doing it. Another thing that I like to do in order to stay on budget is build in rewards or treats for myself. So, for example, it's hard to deprive yourself of something 100% of the time forever. You're gonna backslide. So if you build in treats, if you say, look, if I stay on budget for the next 3 months, there's this favorite restaurant that I love to go to. A meal there usually costs about $25 or $30. But if I stay on track for the next 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, I can reward myself with a night out in my favorite restaurant. And yes, you'll spend the $30 or $40 for that meal. But if you stayed on budget, when you look at that $30 or $40 and you spread that, average it out over the last 3 months or 4 months or 6 months that you were, you know, staying on track, it'll break down to pennies per day. And when you're doing your spending tracker, you're looking at that $20 per day on average that people are blowing. If you've reduced that down to just pennies per day and you've designed it so it's a treat for you or a reward for you for staying on your budget, you're going to come out way ahead of the game. And over time, knowing that you have that reward coming to you, if you just keep doing what you're supposed to do, it helps you stay focused. It's sort of like an interim goal, you know, you're trying to get to. Because sometimes the goal is like putting that money for a down payment house, maybe years down the road. So you need those little interim goals, those little treats along the way, just to give you the incentive to stick with it. It's sort of like dieting. You know, if you say, hey, look, if I stay on my diet for the next 3 months, I can reward myself with that scoop of ice cream, which is my favorite dessert. You know, once, it sets you back a little bit, but it's better. you know?
We also know, Kevin, though, you got to pick the right friends to tell your goals to, because some dang friends, they will help derail you. So even like with your diet and with your money, it's got to be the right friends, because friends
gotta
will.
Be the right friends.
Yes.
Got to be the right friends. And it's got to be the right rewards. I mean, you can't, you know, say my reward is going to be spend $300. That could completely wreck your budget. Something small that's going to keep you, give you incentive to stay on track.
Okay.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of another fabulous show. I am so thankful for Michelle Ewing and Kevin Green for honoring me with their presence every Friday on Finances with Francine and Friends. I want my audience to have a wonderful weekend. Please be safe out there. Wear your mask, people. We can't say that enough. We don't want to get shut down in Virginia. So please, please, please wear your mask. So Michelle and Kevin, thank you again for another wonderful episode of Finances with Francine and Friends. We'll be back next Friday, everybody, right here, same time.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Francine.
Take care, everybody.
Have a wonderful 4th.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.